Okay, we're doing Spudermoots.
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 Okay, so I mostly encounter spider mites on my plants. If I have a pest. I'm saying I mostly get spider mites as fuck. Sometimes I find them in my bathroom and I'm like, why are you taking a shower in here, spider mites? So we want to hear. Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Christine.
Today we're talking about spider mites. I've already embarrassed myself. Okay. So spider mites, they are a pest you get on your plant. What they do is they eat your plant. Mm-hmm. They suck the life out of it. Mm-hmm. And they can be the death of your plant or they can be the death of your sanity. But hey, we're here to tell you
how to get rid of them. Doesn't have to be.
And how to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So let's jump into it. How do we know we have spider mites?
Well, first off, spider mites aren't spiders.
They're not arachnids.
Nope.
They're
mites.
Mites. What kind of bug is that?
I'm not sure. But they're called spider mites because they look like spiders. And
then they leave webbing.
They create webbing. But it's not like normal kind of spider webs, right? Isn't it something different that's creating the webbing? I might have to look this up.
That's a good question. I am not 100% sure off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. It does not look exactly like a spider web, but if you have a plant that is infested with spider mites, it'll look like you have spider webs on your plant.
Yep.
Especially at first glance.
Yep.
So that would be if your infestation is really far gone.
Uh-huh.
Your plant would be covered in tiny like little white dots moving around and covered in webs. So, I'm not sure why they do the webbing because it's not like they're catching prey. So for me, I notice spider mites usually start appearing on my alocasia when they're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Alocasia, they're so communicative. It's like they get a bad rap for being divas, but like they will tell you what's going on immediately. So like they stop growing. They start to look a little sad. Spider mites, when they suck the juices out of your plant, they'll get like this little stippling or like little mottling on the leaves. So like kind of like little salt and pepper flecks, but like on your plant tissue. So like, obviously I'm not talking about white and black, but like the straight green of your leaf will kind of get a little speckling to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if you look at the underside of your leaf, if you see any webbing or tiny moving dots, the spider mites, they can be white or black or
red.
Red.
There's spotted spider mite.
Yep.
Which is like kind of reddish orange with two brown spots on it. I normally see a brownish one.
When I see them, they're usually like little white specks.
That is true. I guess I see a lot of white ones too.
So like if a plant's not doing, if it's not growing like it usually is or whatever, I'll flip the leaf over. I'll take a look. I'm looking for little white specks. Usually when I find spider mites, I don't see webbing. Uh-huh. Usually my plants aren't that far gone that I see webbing. If I do see webbing in between like veins or in like little hollows of the leaf, like obviously I know that's spider mites, but I'm looking for little white dots. And you know, sometimes your plants will have like little bits of dirt on them. Daryl Chang of Houseplant Journal taught me blow on your leaf.
Uh-huh.
You blow on your leaf and the specks like fly off. You're good. They're just specks. If you blow on the leaf and those little specks start moving, spider mites. And then sometimes, like, I have done, like, a little blow. I said that wrong. I'm not talking about cocaine. Jesus Christ. I blow a little bit on the leaf, and they don't move. I will continue to, like, sit and watch them. And sometimes I will poke them with, like, the edge of my fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they start crawling around, guess what? They're spider mites. They do tend to move kind of slow.
Yeah.
So one thing, if you're using beneficial insects, the Californicus that you would get to eat spider mites, they actually move fairly rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a problem for me before where I'm like, is this a spider mite or is this a mite that's eating my spider mites?
Right.
So like, the actual spider mite will move pretty slow. But they will, you can see them moving.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you first get them, sometimes they're too small to actually see with your naked eye, which is a lot of the times when you like get on your alocasia, the plant will react before you can even tell that they're there. So like, Christine's done this before. I've done this to myself where I'm like, what's wrong with my alocasia? I think something's wrong. Give it like a week or two, boom, spider mites. So like I'm at the point now where if I notice that happening, I'm just going to go hose it off with water.
Yeah.
because there might be spider mites that I can't see. And at least I'm getting a jump start on it by doing it now.
I've only a handful of times have gotten like severe webbing on my plants. And I've never had, I mean, I've seen pictures of people post being like, what's wrong with my plant? And it is covered in webs.
Like cotton candy.
Yeah, like full on spider web covered. But I think one of my biggest tells right away, especially on alocasias, is in the sinus. So the sinus is where the leaf meets the petiole, and there's that little divot there. There'll always be like the tiniest of webbings right there. That's I feel like where they always start for me. And so I immediately am like, okay, here we go.
I usually see it on that exact spot, but on the underside. Mm-hmm. Where the petiole meets the leaf. Like usually there's like some kind of like little depression. Between the veins is usually where I see it first.
Yeah.
Or like if you have a stingray or a tiny dancer, those leaves have like built-in crevices. They will always be there.
They love it.
Always.
Where was I going with this? I lost it. It'll come back.
Spider mites. They like...
finding the spider mites.
They like spider-mite. Little crevices and little holes and little hidey holes, like tucked away little spots.
Oh, so I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, go.
As far as... It's really hard for the new plant parent, if you're getting spider mites, to go just off of the yellowing leaves, because I struggled with that.
Yellowing leaves can mean 17 different things.
And so I always just thought, the leaf's just dying. And then it'd be like, oh shit, no spider mites. And then it would be like, oh, I've overwatered it. And then it's like, oh shit, no spider mites. You know, so it took me a really long time, and I've gotten very good at seeing them now, like at the point where like
on it's Facebook true. I've seen them enough.
I've seen them like on Facebook, people be like, what's wrong with my plant? And I'll zoom in and I'm like, spider mites. Like I'll circle here. It and be like, I can see spider mites.
That's okay. So you were talking about yellow leaves, and you know, I've been growing plants, god, I don't even remember what year it was, 2019, 5 years now. Mm-hmm. I don't even like, if I see a yellow leaf, most of the time I know why, without even have to like do a process of eliminations to figure it out. Like,
yeah,
I just know that this is a yellow leaf because it's time for that one to go. And like,
right.
I do start getting concerned if it's not an older leaf. But yeah, again, like, yeah, pests, especially like alocasia, like I know.
Yeah. And it's dropping.
Know leaf. My care.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that's nice. When your plants get enough light and you're watering properly, you don't get like, honestly, most of the yellow leaves I get are older leaves dying off, or I have spider mites.
Mm-hmm.
Or I brought a plant in from outside over the summer and it's unhappy because it's not getting enough light, and it's just going to drop a bunch of leaves.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. So yeah, you do build that intuition over time. Newbies, don't worry, it'll come.
Yeah.
Okay. So now hold on. So getting ahead of ourselves. What else are we looking for to determine if we have spider mites? We got the modeling of the leaves. Yep. Some of the leaves will turn yellow. You're looking for webs. You're looking for tiny crawling things.
Plant dying.
Plant generally won't grow. Yes. Or it will grow deformed leaves.
If you have a plant, and this is going to be hard because, again, if you've recently changed its environment or its like watering schedule or even repotted it, but usually, and I think Kaylin already said this, huge tell for me is my alocasia stop growing. So if you have a plant that you're used to putting out a new leaf every, you know, 2 weeks, month, whatever, and it breaks that schedule and you haven't done anything else, typically signs are look for pests of any sort. But spider mites is usually number one. Because like, even when I've had thrips, plants will just keep growing like fine, but just new leaves look like hot garbage because they're getting eaten by the thrips. Versus spider mites, they just kind of just stop growing.
That's interesting that they'll grow through one pest, but they won't grow for another.
Oh, it's the same with aphids. My Hoyas will keep going like crazy with aphids.
Yeah, they got to put out that new growth for those Hoyas or those aphids to eat.
Yeah.
Fast food. depending on what plant you're growing to, like if you have like dried brown papery bits.
Yes.
They will like to hide in those little crevices. So like before you start treating or anything, it is helpful to remove any of those dried crispy bits. So like on a Monstera, they kind of get those little like brown papery bits on the petiole where the petiole touches the stem.
Where the leaf came out of.
Yeah. The petiolar sheath on philodendrons.
Calatheas are a big one.
Yeah, calatheas also have that little petiolar sheath, but they're harder to just rip off because they're a little more fibrous, I think.
Yeah, they're a little more stuck. I used to dedicate time to cut mine off on mine to like groom them.
Depends on my mood. I usually don't anymore. But yeah, any of those, they want to hide in the little cracks and crevices and stuff. So that is an excellent place for them to hide. If you're going to treat for the bugs, it is easiest to take away those spots, get rid of them. I think I've even gone so far as to cut off my aerial roots, like on my Giganteum. Because I was like, this is just one more place for them to hide and these serve no purpose for me. So I'm just going to cut them off. What else? Are there any more signs we want to look for?
I don't think so. That's kind of it.
That's kind of it, yeah. Like the characteristic modeling of the leaf is very telltale. Yellowing leaves, not growing.
I will say,
webbing especially.
Spider mites and thrips are almost similar in a way. As far as
one's more scary than the other, but it depends on who you ask.
I was going to say, you're going to say spider mites are scarier.
Christine's thrips. Like, spider mites are easy. Thrips are hard.
Yep.
But that's because I've had spider mites way worse. And Christine's had thrips
way worse. Yeah.
Way worse. And it's interesting. For the most part, I tend to get spider mites. Knock on wood.
And I tend to get thrips when I get like, that's crazy. My big bad. Like, yeah, crazy. Everyone has.
And like Mackie gets mealybugs.
I mean, I get all pests, but that's like, I feel like if I have the one that I'm always look on the lookout / constantly working against, it's thrips.
See, in me, it's spider mites and aphids.
Yeah.
And the aphids are usually a summer thing. Anyway. Okay.
But yeah, so what I was going to say is they're kind of similar in that the damage looks the same. The,
you don't see their little sheds.
You don't see the
Spider mites, you don't see that.
Yeah, and you don't, and obviously thrips don't do webbing, but I feel
and
like the
thrips have the like silvery foliage they leave behind.
Oh yeah,
the spider mites don't do that.
Yeah,
and spider mites also don't burrow into your leaf tissue and lay eggs.
Yeah, it's in the soil, so you do they have will a lay better eggs
in the soil.
You do have a little more luck, just if you're going to go the route of taking cuttings and starting over to get rid of spider mites. That's definitely a little more doable.
Yeah.
Not for thrips. Okay, fine. They're not similar. But when we talk about getting rid of them, it's very similar.
Hey, it's a good thing we pointed out the differences so that people don't go into it thinking, oh, they're the same. They're not.
Fine.
That's okay. Hey, we pointed it out. We're learning. Okay, so spider mites. I went down. Oh, man. Oh, if you guys listen to the Halloween episode, you know what happened to my collection when I got spider mites and then gave it to myself. So I went down the spider mite rabbit hole because I'm like, I'm going to treat these little shits and get rid of them. So I need to know their life cycle. And like, I'm pretty sure around the plant circles, like I've heard this information being spewed, but I never paid close enough attention to it. And then also like, you remember the information different when you're the one researching it. Mm-hmm. So I found some like scholarly articles or something, and it might have been like on cannabis growers, but like spider mites are spider mites, right? Okay. So things I learned. Spider mites, depending on the temperature, they have different lives. They have the same life cycle, but it speeds up if it's warm out. So in 80 degree weather, the spider mite will go through its life cycle in 3 to 5 days. If it's like 60 degrees out, the spider mite will take 7 to 10 days to complete its life cycle. So this is from egg hatching to adult.
So they're much shorter in life cycle than like thrips. Because isn't thrips like 30 days?
Not sure. But that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So when you are treating for spider mites, it is helpful to know what temperature you're at because that'll determine where, like how fast they like, go through their life cycle. Mm-hmm. So why this matters. You cannot kill spider mite eggs with your pesticide chemicals.
Yes.
Can you blast them off with water or are they kind of stuck and then you have to wait for them to hatch?
Eggs in the soil? Yeah, there you can't really do anything.
Yeah, if the eggs are in the soil, like sure, you can rinse it off. But like, I mean, personally, when I've treated for spider mites, I've never swapped out soil or repotted anything because of what's in the soil. What I do is I wait for any of those eggs to hatch in my either 3 to 5 days or my 7 to 10 day or somewhere in between life cycle. And then I hit them. I guess it depends. Like, you know, if it's 7 to 10 days, I would do a once a week treatment regimen. If it's 3 to 5 days, I think I would probably go in like 4 to 5 days and do a treatment because then you're hitting them every time the new batch hatches. Mm-hmm. So like you still have those eggs, they're still hatching, but you have to hit them or where you can. And that's after they hatch from eggs. Mm-hmm. once they get to the adult life stage, then they can reproduce. So then you have females laying eggs again. So you don't want them to get there.
Right.
You don't want that to happen because then you have to start all over. So when I was treating, I would do, let's say, once a week hose downs and sprays for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think in my brain, 3 weeks was okay, but 4 weeks was doing like an extra precautionary, whatever, whatever. So like in the past, when I treated for spider mites, you know, every, let's just for the sake of argument, say every 7 days, I'd hose them down, spray them down. I was using pesticides for the first couple years of my plant journey. Spider mites will build up a resistance.
Yeah.
If you spray the same thing on them all the time, eventually they're going to be like, eh, doesn't bother me because they built up a resistance that's no longer going to work. So you need to hit them with a variety of pesticides. However, it has been shown in studies that spraying them down with water has just as good of a success rate as spraying them with chemicals.
Right.
Water is great because it's not harmful. You can wash it down the drain. It doesn't cause cancer, and it's free. It's not free, but it's kind of free, right?
Right.
You don't have to go to the store and buy it, mm-hmm. unless you're drinking it and you're bougie. but for hosing down your plants, it comes out of your faucet. I would say get one of those shower heads that you can do in the tub. Just swap out for the hose and use the spray setting on the shower head, because if you have bigger plants that don't fit in your sink, like, it's just easier to do it in the tub.
Yeah.
And those shower heads are like $10 to $15.
Or you're like me and I bought the adapter for my sink.
Oh, you're like actual sink.
Yep. I bought an adapter. It just, you took the aerator off of the sink and you put the hose adapter on.
But your tub doesn't have a shower, correct?
Exactly.
The so that's tub why that you I had used. To do that.
And I really like that because then I can bring my garden hose up so I get the high pressure of that nozzle. And I do hot water when I'm doing like big spray downs.
I like that.
Uh-huh. And so, yeah, that's definitely been proven. Like, and when I say hot water, friends, like
hot to the touch,
like scalding? just below scalding, is what you want to do for foliage. You do not want to hit your roots with those. You just have to be careful.
I mean, my plants are in soil, so I'm not hitting the roots
right.
with scalding water.
And by the time they hit the roots, like if it gets in the soil, by the time it hits roots, it's cooled down enough.
Technical note here, when you are spraying your plants off, tip them at an angle so the plant yes. the bugs that you knock off don't fall into the soil.
Yeah.
Tip your plant to the side, spray each leaf so that the water drips down into the tub and not into your soil.
Yep. So yeah, that's a great natural option. Another really good, I guess, quote unquote natural option is just alcohol. Like that,
because the alcohol will dry out the cuticle of the bug.
Yep. So that just kills it instantly. Because not all pesticides kill the bugs. They just don't. They just like
it depends on the pesticide. Yeah.
Depends on the pesticide.
Some will make them unable to reproduce. Some will make them
just not eat. Right.
Like the I'd have to look up to see which ones do which. But like they're not. If you're into, you know, bug humane practices,
yes,
these are not it.
But alcohol is great because it dries up the whole bug and it just dies. And then I've had a really, and I think the reason why I've haven't dealt with spider mites super hard is I've been doing the SNS 209.
Rosemary
extract, which there is, the University of Minnesota, actually, I researched it pretty hard before I bought it. Extensive studies on rosemary extract on spider mites, and they don't like the taste in the plant, so they just leave them alone. And I found
natural and organic.
If and when I do get spider mites, they are a lot easier to control because of that.
Are you spraying with the SNS?
Mm-mm, it's a water. I do water additive or a water.
Do you add it to your fertilizer or do you do it separately?
It's all in one.
You do your fertilizer and your rosemary every time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. You know, you've talked about this so many times. I've never gone out and bought it.
I've got the giant jug if you want to. I can like give you some of it to just start. They do recommend doing 4 cycles before you really start to see results.
So when you say cycle, do you mean like a weekly cycle?
No, watering cycles. They say every 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks you should be watering, and you need to go do that 4 times before you really start seeing.
So it's got to build up.
Yep. Cause it's the plants taking it up and putting it into its tissues. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be an immediate thing, but you can use that same stuff to make a foliar spray if you are actively treating something. Okay.
And you have used it as a like a reservoir additive.
It's good for hydroponics too. I haven't every now and then, just for all my plants in general, I go a cycle, a watering cycle with no additives just to like flush. Do a flush.
Yeah.
So I, whether I'm, you know, benefiting or hurting my plants in that sense, because I am skipping a cycle, I don't know. That's just what I do. So that's like natural / organic routes. And then bugs, if you want to go predatory route.
The one that I've used in the past is the Neocelsulus californicus. They eat the spider mites. Preventatively, I will get some of the sachets from our local DMV group. And just stick them around my plants, rotate them every week. Otherwise, because I brought my plants in for the winter, and on Halloween, I distributed a bottle of, I don't remember how many there were, but a giant bottle of californicus, sprinkle it on my dudes. Hopefully they ate anybody.
Yeah.
What are the other ones? I'm not familiar with the bugs that you use.
Is that one?
Oh, the Stradiolaelips are soil mites. Yeah, are they mites? I don't know. They eat the stuff in the soil. So if you have any eggs, they would get those. They also eat your fungus gnats. Is there a high humidity bug? I'm not familiar with those because I don't really have. I mean, I guess I have my tent.
So we should talk about that in a second.
Is it Swirsky eye? Is
that Swirsky eye?
Swirsky eye. I don't know which ones they'll eat. I'm not the expert. You guys could definitely pop back to our beneficial bugs episode to get the lowdown on these, because off the top of my head, I am not thinking of them. Mm-hmm. If you do have like a high humidity, californicus will eat your spider mites in like ambient room temperatures and ambient humidity.
And I've actually been doing, because from my readings, californicus like primarily hunts spider mites, but will also eat thrips. And this is where I'm saying they're kind of similar. And cucumeris primarily hunt thrips, but also will eat spider mites. So I've started just getting both and putting like one of each on each plant and then moving them around. I'm not persimilis is coming up as a spider mite dude.
Yeah, I'm not had those.
So I'm not sure which one. So when we say, because some different predatory bugs will be more effective on different parts of the plant. So there are ones that are going to do better about being in the soil to eat the eggs. There are ones that are going to do better about being on the foliage to eat the actual mite itself. So there's definitely some research you got to do there, because I don't have enough knowledge.
Yeah, we don't have this off at the top of our heads. I'm
sorry.
Did research our reference episode.
Back. But I want to talk about the humidity thing, because I don't necessarily think that's true. So you'll hear a lot of people say, if you have spider mites, put them in an area with really high humidity and they don't like it and they'll run away. I have had spider mites in 90% humidity cabinets, so I don't necessarily agree with that school of thought. I don't know if you've found it to be true.
If you try to dissect that, higher humidity is gonna not, your plants aren't gonna dry out as fast. So if you're stressing your plant out because it's getting too dry and then it's getting stressed and attracting spider mites, like that's actually less likely to happen if you're growing the plant in high humidity. So like if you think about it that way, maybe that's why people are experiencing less spider mites maybe, in higher humidities.
But I've seen people say if you have spider mites, put the plant in high humidity.
Yes, I know what you're saying. I have had spider mites in high humidity too. So like, that doesn't really like check out in my experience. Yeah. So like,
but
don't use that as a way to get rid of your spider mites. Right. But count on that to get rid of them for you.
Yeah. In that same breath, though, there is a little bit of a correlation of super dry conditions causing spider mites, whether that's they like the dry conditions or is it our plants are stressed out. So then they're becoming more susceptible. Probably a little bit more of the latter. But come February in Minnesota, when shit's so cold and super dry and that's icky,
tends to be when
everyone starts to get a little bit of spider mites infestation. So that's just something to definitely keep in the back of your brain.
Another shout out to the beneficial bug people. I have been able to keep my annual spider mite infestation out of the February, March months, because I get the sachets for preventative reasons and I keep doing that until the plants go out for, I was going to say winter. I meant summer, like in June.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't have to, like, I don't have to deal with any spider mites indoors because my beneficial bugs are eating them before it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And then, of course, my ass, like, lets plants dry out in the greenhouse too much. And then I get spider mites in my alocasia outside.
Yeah.
It's easier to deal with them outside because I can just hose them down, quarantine them on the side of the greenhouse. Let the actual natural bugs eat my bad bugs, which is great.
Is there any lacewing? Will lacewing eat spider mites?
They might have a snack, but it's not going to be your main predator.
Right. I'm just trying to think of something like, because, you know, like you with your aphids, you like to just throw them outside for the wasp. Like, I don't know if there's something in Minnesota specifically, like if you have spider mites, would you throw it outside in the summertime? If anything, yes, just so that I can hose it down daily.
Yeah, the beneficial thing for me, plants outside with spider mites, is I just, yeah, hose them down.
Just hose them like crazy.
Hose them down at my predetermined timeline based on how warm it is. And then I am able to keep them quarantined away from, like, the rest of my greenhouse.
Yeah.
And honestly, okay, I was a big pesticide user because I was like, this is the only way to get rid of spider mites.
Yeah.
I'm a convert. It's beneficial bugs and hosing down with water for me, man.
Yeah.
Like, last year, both this year and last year, I got spider mites on my stingray. And I just hosed them down with water at the same interval,
mm-hmm,
based on the spider mite life cycle. Hosed them down. I did significantly less hosing this year, but it just worked out all the same. And I did have spider mites on my variegated fry deck once or twice. But, like, again, strategic hose downs, made sure those didn't come back.
That's the one that I get.
And it's so much less stressful than having to plan out when I'm hosing down. And I wasn't even hosing them down. I would just straight up spray them with my chemicals.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt like I was, like, covering all the bases. But, like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, it felt like the stakes were higher.
Yeah.
But now that it's not that I care less. I'm just better at it.
Yeah.
And the water is just effective. And then I'm not spending money on chemicals. And I'm not having to wear PPE while I do it, because that will give you cancer. And not ever spraying these pesticides outside either, because that's harmful to the bugs that are naturally out there.
Right.
So it's just, world's better. I'm doing a much better job. It's also just easier to keep your plants happy so they don't get stressed and don't attract spider mites.
True.
If you can have that happen.
Per the university, you're not going to like this, but the University of Minnesota's website says you should give your plants an inch of water every week to avoid spider mites.
I guess that depends on what they mean by inch of water, because
they're talking outdoor, so not house plants. Oh yeah,
well, that makes sense. That's what you want to do. But I mean, I'm not actually, if I got spider mites on my outside plants, I don't know that I would care.
Yeah, just let them do it.
Yeah. Okay, now we will talk about what pesticides to use if you're dead set on using those. Because it is important to not use the wrong ones.
Well, and here's another part of it. Because, like you said, they build up resistance. We're going to have to talk rotation.
Exactly.
So to start off, say you have spider mites and you decide to go the pesticide route, you're going to have to buy at least 3 to get yourself started, right?
Right. Don't think, oh, I have neem oil and I'm going to go buy one more and I'm going to call it good. No. Not going to work. Honestly, let's say you find spider mites tonight and you're not going out to the store to buy anything.
Alcohol.
If you have it. Not yeah. Everyone has it.
No, I now buy rubbing alcohol by the gallon.
I don't. I usually have hydrogen peroxide and that's not the same.
Yeah.
And then hydrogen peroxide, if it's left open, it turns to water. So half the time it needs a new bottle anyway. Okay. Hose it down with water. If you find spider mites tonight, take it to your tub, take it to your shower, take it to your sink. Hose it down with water. Get all the nooks and crannies, the tops of the leaves, the bottom of the leaves, the stem. Try and flush those down the drain and not into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Water.
Mm-hmm.
Do that first. Then we can figure out our little spider mite life cycle timeline based on, you know, if it's 60 degrees or 80 degrees. And then how long those guys are living. You can go out and you can buy some stuff. I do not recommend neem oil. I don't mm-hmm. think it's strong enough to kill spider mites or do any good for what you're spending time wise and money wise on.
Definitely not
this whole procedure.
The spray.
Not the spray?
I think, right? Because there's a difference between the neem oil, like the neem spray, and like the actual neem extract, like the actual oil that you put on plants.
I'm not sure. I've never used it because I don't think neem oil is strong enough for anything I ever give a shit about.
But also be careful because neem oil causes
burn your plants.
Can burn your plants.
Because it's an oil that's going to magnify the light and cause your plant to burn. So, yep. Side note, if you do treat your plant for spider mites, do not put them directly back under their grow light that is turned on. Give them time to dry.
Yep.
Overnight. And then you can put them back. Otherwise, if you put them with the oil on their leaves under the light, it's going to scorch them. Going to burn them.
And that can happen with even just water, too, if you're not careful.
Yeah, or Dawn dish soap. I've done that.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Things that I've had success with treating spider mites for. You can use spinosad in Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. That is a natural, what is it, found in the Bahamas? It's somewhere, it's one tropical place is where they have found it occurring naturally, and that is it. they also have insecticidal soap. And then they have a combination of the two where you can get insecticidal soap with the Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew built in. I've never used it, but I've heard people using Seven, S-E-V-I-N.
Oh, yeah.
I did buy a bottle, and then I read the label, and I said, oh, hell no, returned it. It's way stronger than anything I want to use in my house or put on my skin. Mm. I don't care if it gets rid of spider mites. I wasn't using it. So I literally bought the bottle, brought it home, read it, and took it back. That was my experience with it. Can control, by the brand Mammoth Can Control. That is it corn thyme? Shit. What is it? Is it thyme oil? Thyme extract? Shit. I looked it up. I think it comes from corn. Goddamn. I should have looked this up before we did this episode. It's a cannabis product. Locally, I get it at Eco-Garden Supply. It's quote organic and all natural, but it's been pretty good. It is, what was I gonna say?
Expensive.
No, that's Azamax. Well, that's the next one. They're I'll both talk expensive. About. Yeah, can control's not that bad.
They both come in a concentrate.
Yeah, so you have to get your own spray bottle to mix it, and then I like to mix it in like a jug without a spray nozzle because then I can make more of it and then pour it into my spray bottle. But I am thrifty, and I just use my milk jugs.
I've started doing that for just my water.
I try to... So with these concentrates, you don't want to use more than you're going to use to spray, because once you've mixed it, it will go bad in, like, 24 hours.
Yeah.
And not have as... The efficacy goes down. So you want to only use what you are going to... Only make what you're going to use.
Right. Because... You don't want to just be dumping extra down the drain.
Yeah, you do not want to be dumping down the drain because it's bad for the ecosystem and bad for the water supply.
Yeah.
So you want to try and catch any runoff you may have and then just not make too much. And if you do have extra, if you can save it, bottle it, and take it to your local like hazardous waste recycling facility. I did that a couple months back. I had been saving bottles of this shit for a while, and I finally just took it to the place.
So, question, not to be like devil advocate here, but if it's only good for 24 hours...
That's after you've mixed it with water.
Right. Why do we not want to dump that then? Because it's not as strong, right? It's not as...
I mean, I guess it depends on what it's affecting in each form. Sure. So, like, if it's not going to kill as many bugs after 24 hours, like it still could harm your invertebrates and, you know, your fish in your water supply.
Yeah, I get that.
Or whatever. Not that there's fish in your water supply. You know what I mean? In the streams. Depending on where that water ends up.
Just had to ask the question.
Yeah. Azamax is the expensive one.
Yeah. Even more so right now.
That's right. Someone should buy mine off me. I have some.
Yeah, there's a supply chain issue with Azamax, and it's like $80 a bottle right now. I think we got ours for like $40 or something. So if anyone wants some Azamax, we have it just sitting in our houses.
Yeah, Azamax is what? Azadithrosin?
Yeah.
And it comes from a different part of the neem plant that they use to make neem oil. So I think, isn't it like a more concentrated neem, essentially? That's the one where it'll like get into the... bug life cycle and like severely fuck up the bug as opposed to outright killing them, so to like make them unable to molt. And they have a fascinating pamphlet in the box when you buy a bottle with very visual descriptions of how it incapacitates these bugs. So that's wild to me. I've found it to be effective, yes. What's the other one I've used?
But with a grain of salt here, because if we're going this route, if we're talking that you're spraying every 3 to 5 days, you know, at the shortest life cycle, that's a lot of chemicals you're throwing in the air. It's a lot of chemicals you're mixing.
Right. Make sure you're wearing your PPE.
Yeah.
Respirator, gloves. I say this like I ever used these two things. I did not when I was spraying.
Be mindful of
I did turn the fan on and shut the door so the pets couldn't get in there.
I was going to say, be mindful of your smaller ones in your house because they're going to be way more sensitive to these things.
Yeah. Ideally, I mean, there's no good place. You shouldn't be doing it inside. You definitely shouldn't be doing it outside. Like, why are we doing it at all?
Right.
The other last spray that I make sure I always have on hand is Dr. Zymes, which is citric acid. What is it? Dr. Zymes Magic something something?
Sure.
I don't know. That one's citric acid, so that one's not as scary as the other ones. I found it to be quite effective. I like that one.
Is spider mites the one where they actually live past freezing point?
I don't know.
I thought we had.
Because didn't Daryl Cheng try this one time by putting plants outside?
Mm-hmm. And found that the spider mites lived longer than the plant.
I mean, the one time I got spider mites on the golden pothos, I put the golden pothos out in the garage in winter, and 3 days later it was dead.
Yeah.
I don't care if the spider mites were alive or not. Their food source was dead. But yeah. So, okay. All of these sprays we've just listed, they're all, some of them are concentrates. Some of them come in a bottle. I will tell you, it's definitely cheapest to buy them, the ones you can at Home Depot for like $8 a bottle. Nurseries will definitely mark them up like $5 per bottle. So if, depending on how many you're going through, it is easier to just throw your money at Home Depot to save a couple bucks. I do like the concentrates. The Azomax, the Can Control, and the Dr. Zymes are all kind of concentrates. I did buy a concentrate of the Dead Bugs Brew. One I haven't found a concentrate for, but I still really like. I like insecticidal soap. It's not as scary as some of the other ones. And I just, I always like insecticidal soap. But all of these I have had on hand to treat for spider mites. And when I treat them, based on, you know, is it 60 degrees? Is it 80 degrees? And what my spider mite life cycle is looking like, I will treat every X number of days and I will rotate what I'm spraying with. So you can definitely knock the bugs off first with water. And then go through and spray with your Azomax or your Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew or your Dr. Zymes. But rotate that, because if you spray with the same thing too many times, the spider mites will build up resistance. It's not going to kill them. And so with spider mites, it's easy to try to, you want to aim to be as efficient as possible the first time around. Get them good, because if you're just treating these things for 8 months straight, they're not going to be resistant to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Although at that point, just start using water. The water will knock them off. Wash them down the drain, keep at it till all your eggs have hatched, and then your problem is gone. And look, no chemicals.
If we trust growbarato.net, they say at temperatures below 50 degrees, they have discomfort and their development decreases.
Discomfort.
But this part's hilarious. Below 32 degrees, they may die.
They may die.
However, it rarely happens in nature, as red spider mites tend to look for warm refuge during winter, meaning they just don't subject themselves to those conditions.
Wait, they go back inside if it's cold out. And you can, you know, bring them in on your clothing. So if the spider mite's like, well, it's cold out here on your porch, I'm going inside with you.
Mm-hmm.
Although they don't like actively jump.
Ooh, how do we like get them? Flips. This is the one that always baffles me. Like, where do they come from?
Right? They come in sometimes on, you know, I guess they can probably come in on fresh produce and things you bring in. If you bring in fresh cut flowers, or definitely a new plant comes home. But like, where are they coming from at fucking winter in February in Minnesota?
No one knows.
Oh, you didn't actually have an answer?
I don't. I think they, I literally, spider mites are the ones that I think just appear.
Okay. So I do know that you can get spider mite eggs in on soil. If you, you know, buy new soil, it's pretty much guaranteed that you will have some spider mite eggs in there. I learned from somebody.
Along with fungus gnats.
Yeah, fungus gnat eggs. So like, and I have heard that happy frog is a bad one for this.
Interesting.
Yeah, kind of notorious. Miracle-Gro also, I notice, I feel like tends to have more fungus gnat eggs.
Oh, Miracle-Gro has so much.
Don't buy Miracle-Gro.
That's where Coca-Cola comes in.
Yeah, like I like, especially I don't have, if I don't have bugs in my house. It's winter. Where are they coming from? Like, right. If they need a food source to survive, like, are they just hanging out in my basement somewhere? Like, I don't know. And, like, you know, Mackie will say that you don't have a pest-free collection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatsoever. So, like, it could just be, like, you have two spider mites hanging out.
And conditions just become right enough for them to go crazy.
Yeah, and you don't catch it, and, you know, things are right, and things start happening, and then sexy music plays, and before you know it, you got a whole couple generations going on. I don't know.
It's definitely.
So, yeah, if you're going to go the pesticide route, switch up your things. The rotation, pretty much all of the different sprays and stuff that I listed, I currently have / have used. And so, like, I think if I'm really going crazy, I could do, like, a rotation of 7 different things based on what I have on hand. But, like, I was serious about killing these.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But I would make sure to do it 4 times. And then I would obviously do a check to make sure I don't have to keep doing it. Because if you aren't spraying every nook and cranny and getting all the spots where they're hiding, especially the, like, the brown papery bits on your plant, if you're not removing those and checking, like, you definitely could miss some. And so then it'll just come back. Or if you, like, you know, you spray your plants, like, generally, but you didn't thoroughly soak them, like, you're going to be missing some. So, like, you need to do a thorough job. You need to spray the top of the leaf, the bottom of the leaf, the stem, the petiole, the underside of the petiole. Like, any part of that plant needs to be saturated in whatever you're spraying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's annoying, especially when you have a bunch of foliage.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the thought of the size of my plants right now getting spider mites? Hell no.
Right.
Hell no. Like, looking at that orbifolia, absolutely not. Yeah, having to drag this Tycon upstairs and spray, you know, how many leaves are on there? 30-inch average size.
And it would be like leaf? This that I would be mostly worried about for spider mites.
Yeah, they would definitely crawl in that little divot in the petiole.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness for beneficial bugs and preventative care. God damn, I'm so thankful. Anyway, my days of spraying pesticides in my house are over. I'm so over it. I was over it that one winter. I had to spray basically my whole collection. Thanks, Christine.
I'm grooming your plant.
Grooming my plant. So over it. And, like, yes, beneficial bugs can be expensive, but the benefits,
well,
so outweigh
and the cost for me.
And the peace of mind, knowing that these bugs are getting all the spots that I couldn't possibly,
right,
makes me such a happy plant
parent. And depending on the size of your collection, yes, going the beneficial route to treat an infestation is expensive. But if you get done with that infestation, and then you move on to preventative. The sachets are so cheap.
Yeah, you can just keep doing preventative stuff indefinitely. And then you never have to worry about having a huge outbreak because you're preventing it.
Yeah, I buy 20 sachets
every which is like $18.
Yep, and they're good for 6 weeks.
$7 for shipping.
So I do every other bug order just to be safe. So I have a little bit of overlap. It's not, so we're talking $20 a month. It's
once you get there.
Yeah. I know that's not feasible for everybody in life. I understand that, but it's not expensive though either, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, depending on how many plants I had to treat, and, like, the concentrates definitely help the cost, but, like, when I was buying $8 bottles of insecticidal soap and I was going through 3 bottles every cycle.
Yeah.
That's $21 or $24 just to spray my plants one time.
Right.
And then I have to turn around in 3 to 5 days or 7 to 10 days and do it again. So no thanks.
Yeah,
no thanks.
Plant of the week,
is it that time already?
Yeah, I
feel
so.
Like we should
good.
Hold on.
Okay,
remember, if you want to do the beneficial bugs, if you haven't listened to our beneficial bug episode, go back, listen to that. Kara and Kat will talk about it. How to find a chapter near you if you are in, I know they have a lot of chapters in a lot of major cities. I guess you can go to their website, I think, the DMV Beneficials website, and then see if there's a chapter near you. They're also looking to start more chapters if you want to start your own chapter. I get wholesale pricing and then do big group bug orders. Yeah, check out the website. If you can't find it, send us a DM. We'll send it to you.
Yeah.
We did not prepare
to
speak it in the podcast right now, so sorry.
No, it's called good podcasting, so now we're telling you to just go to another episode.
Yeah, what Christine said, good podcasting. Cool. Go look it up. Be self-sufficient. Nah, highly recommend. From somebody who did my due diligence and... Oh, Christine, we never mentioned about systemic granules.
Oh, don't do it.
You may be wondering why we didn't mention systemic granules to treat for spider mites.
Because they don't work.
They don't work. In fact, the systemic granules will provide nutritious value to spider mites to feed them.
They go, yum, yum, thank you.
Mmm, yum. It's like when Kaylin gets Chinese food. Mmm, yummy. Just kidding. No, that was actually for real. Systemic granules will not treat your spider mites. Don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. It will not work. You can try systemic granules if you have thrips or mealybugs. You cannot do it on spider mites. It just doesn't work. And if you find a chemical or a pesticide that you want to use on spider mites, the most important thing to do besides using PPE is to look at the label and see if it even kills spider mites.
Yeah.
There are ones out there that will not target your spider mites and will not do you a drop of good. So then you've just wasted that spray plus your time plus, you know, whatever time you lost by not killing this week's hatching of spider mites. So don't be an amateur. Check it out. Look at the, I suppose they have it on the safety data sheet, but like all those bottles will have instructions. Just open it up and look. It's not always the easiest to find, but I guarantee you it is always in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, systemic granules will not treat your spider mites. Don't even think about it.
I'll even go so far as to say is we shouldn't even do systemic granules, period, because if you're treating for like a mealy and you use systemic granules, you are only inviting spider mites to then come in, you know?
That's true. How so many people treat for spiders, treat their mealy bugs and then end up with spider mites?
Yep.
Plus it's the residue washes down the...
So bad, friends.
...drain and ends up in nature, and that is also really, really bad. Unfortunately, I still have some systemic granules in the house, and I'm not using them, but they're here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do with these?
I mean, I guess
I could dispose of them.
If you ever had a horrible outbreak of something. Sure.
But... I mean, I have them if I need them. I don't know that they go bad, but like, right. I'm also just not using them.
I don't think they'd go bad because they release in the when you water your plants. They're like a dehydrated little...
As long as they stay dry.
Yeah.
Either way. Don't use systemic granules, folks. If you learn one thing from our podcast, learn that.
Right.
Don't use it for spider mites, especially.
Yeah.
I like that we almost forgot to say that.
This has been your PSA.
Yes, your weekly reminder. Okay, now we can do plant of the week, but then that means I have to figure out what my plant of the week is.
I'm just going
to
keep pulling your...
Christine is grooming my plant.
Let me think. I've been kind of annoyed at stuff lately because they've been not... growing too well for me, but that's my own fault as well. Oh, I think I know what I'll do. I'm gonna do my Alocasia cuprea that I won at the plant event that Mackie and I went to at Verdant. It wasn't at Verdant Curiosities, they invited us down. It was actually at, was it Rain Tree Garden Center, I believe is the name, back in Eau Claire, Wisconsin in September. I won a drawing and I won this Alocasia cuprea, and it's very pretty. It's very cute. It's been growing for me and putting out new leaves and looking very beetly, and it's actually growing nice compared to my last one. So I was definitely set up for success with that one, and that makes me happy.
I love that. Okay. My plant of the week is my philodendron mayoli.
Mm.
Although I feel like I've done this one.
You have, but I think...
It's not on the list. I checked. It's not on the list. philodendron mayoli. So... Man, I think I have like 4 or 5 cuttings in the pot. It's in a 8-inch pot. The plant itself is probably 4 feet tall now. I have it growing up a couple different poles, just stakes, not moss poles. I'm finally getting some really cool leaf shapes, and I'm hoping that now that we have the shape down, we can get size to increase. But he is in my south-facing window, and he's got... you know, definitely a couple feet to go and all winter to do it. So I'm excited to hopefully see that one size up and get some bigger leaves on him.
Sure.
I totally debated chopping him and I totally debated selling the mother plant after taking cuttings. But I was like, no, this is his time to shine. So I'm gonna grow him up and see what happens.
And sell him next year.
Maybe. He's kind of wild doing his thing. And he definitely had a couple moments where he put out some wonky ass leaves that clearly weren't fully hydrated, but
sure.
I am excited to see what happens. I have been enjoying watching him, and I'm excited to see what he does this winter. So congrats.
Congrats.
Whee. All right, guys. Remember, we have some cool stickers. Did we get new sticker designs?
Yes, asterisk.
Christine hasn't done them yet.
I have.
You've done them, but you haven't done them.
I have done like 3 new sticker designs. I just haven't gotten around to actually making them.
I see.
So maybe for Christmas, we'll have new Christmas.
Maybe for Christmas. I like that. So monthly reminder to, if you would like some Rough Around the Hedges stickers, send it to us. Oh my God, I can't talk. What I said, which was, send us a donation, we'll send you some stickers. Provide us your mailing address. Got some cool ones. I have one on my water bottle. It is holographic. It says, keep yourself watered. Yeah. It's on my water bottle.
And in case you don't know, stickers tend to be something from an episode.
Some silly thing. Like, yeah. We have weird looking green plant.
Jar of possibilities.
I love the jar of possibilities.
Keep yourself watered.
Jerry pink.
Yep.
Jerry pink. I feel like there's more. You have.
Well, stay rough. That was.
Yeah, the stay rough. Where that one's a good one.
The catchphrase was born.
I know. We're so inappropriate. Anyway, cool. Thanks for joining us again. Yeah. If you have any questions about spider mites that we did not answer in this episode, please feel free to drop by the Discord and ask us there, or you can DM us on Instagram, Rough Around the Hedges, with what dots?
Rough Around the Hedges podcast, all one word, no dots. That's my personal.
Sorry.
Which means if you message us there, just know that it's 99% me going to be looking at it and then texting it to Kaylin to get an answer.
And then Kaylin will respond and Christine will send it back to you.
So there will be a delay.
And if you try to find Kaylin on Instagram, I'm up close and plantsinal. I will not answer you whatsoever because I've deleted Instagram off my phone for the safety of the safety. No, my sanity.
Safety of your health.
Yeah. Something like that. So cool. Follow me, but don't expect anything. And I honestly don't miss it. It's a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Social media.
Anyway. Not the Discord. Discord's not toxic.
We like the Discord, even though I haven't been using it lately. Give me some time. Yeah. All right, kids. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week where we talk about more plants.
Stay rough.
Bye.
Bye-bye.